Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hello and welcome to Fan Critical, where today your resident Star Wars nerds are here to emerge from the Sarlacc pit, rub all of the acidy goo off themselves and immerse themselves in the crime works of Tatooine. Today I'm joined by John and I'm Len, and this is how I want you to sort of picture us. If you've seen this show, The Book of Boba Fett, there's two huts that get carried around on this like litter with like these humans carrying around. Just imagine that right now that is me and John, two giant slugs approaching you, about to dissect this show for your pleasure. Hello, John. How are you?
Yeah.
My fellow hut.
Yeah, good. Yes. I mean, I thought it was going to be, the Rancor and you're going to be riding me, but that's all right. We can save that for another
For a private podcast, if anything. That's Patreon only.
Patreon. Yeah.
If you want to see
good,
me,
mate.
Right,
I'm
John.
Good. How are you?
No, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah. I'm good, mate. I'm good. I'm there's a lot of shows out at the moment, you know. We'll talk about it more in 60 Minutes to Midnight, I'm sure. But, you know, there's lots going on. And I'm happy that you have finally got the time to see this, because last time we did 60 minutes, you had only, you know, you'd heard mixed things, but I think I might have just pushed you over the edge to actually give it a go.
Yeah, pretty much. I'd heard mixed things, and then, as is the way with
this is the way,
and that's not supposed to be a pun, yeah. But as is the way with social media, they just go and just spoil everything, don't they? Like, people online don't care. They don't give you like a 1 week buffer or anything like that. So, you know, I'd seen some screenshots and I was like, for fuck's sake, Luke's in it, is he? I'm going to have to go and watch this. So,
exactly.
So that was really annoying. I feel like I probably missed out a little bit on some of the more like, oh shit, man, that's happened, has it? Because, you know, it'd be like going to the cinema and someone's like, oh yeah, so basically Darth Vader is actually Luke's dad, and you're like, what are you talking about? Just go in there and you'll piece it together.
It's the
like,
Simpsons.
Why have you told me
it's
that?
When Homer's coming out of the cinema.
Yeah. Ah. So that was very annoying. But yeah, your recommendation of it, the fact that it was slow and got better, I was like, okay, I'll give it a go. Watched the first episode and I was like, yeah, you know, it was all right, the first couple of episodes.
It's all right, yeah.
Absolutely fine. I wasn't like, Jesus, this is terrible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so,
yeah, I've seen it all now. Fact.
Fact, yeah. Did check before we started recording. You've definitely seen it all. You said, yeah. Because some people would think there's only six episodes or something, but there's a seventh episode, which, because when I got to the end of the sixth episode, I was like, is that a season finale? And then luckily, there was an amazing finale, I have to say. Definitely worth sticking around for just for that episode. So I thought we'd do things the way we usually do them, John. And we did a Mandalorian season two review. And we're going to keep this kind of the same. We're going to talk about our favorite moments from the season, but before we get onto that, hold your droids, okay? Hold them, don't get too ahead of yourself, right? Or your little, you know, speed Naboo fighters, hold those back as well, because they're very exciting, and we'll talk about that later. I want your overall thoughts and a blueberry score on The Book of Boba Fett or Mandalorian 2.5. thoughts?
Well, this is the problem, right? A lot of what I'm about to say is probably going to be quite like contradictory, because clearly when the Mandalorian turns up, you're like, brilliant.
All right.
And then Luke turns up, and then fucking Ahsoka and Grogu, and you're like, oh my word, what is this?
What is this show?
And then it's like, and it's like, fucking hell, like, and then you've obviously got Mandalorian wielding the Darksaber, and it's
terribly.
You know, he's been thrown out of the Order, and it's just like, hold on, is this the Book of Boba Fett, or what's going on here?
Exactly right.
And that's the problem. That's the problem with this season. It's kind of, it would almost be better to not name it after Boba Fett.
Mm. They should call it like, something to do with the New Republic.
Something to do with,
you know
what I mean? Or like Tatooine or something.
Hunters, like, you know, like bounty hunters, whatever, something like that. Do you know what I mean? Something cool.
Because it's, I mean, he's not in it enough to I mean, he's not the protagonist, is he? Let's be honest.
I'll be honest with you as well. When he is in it, sorry to interrupt you, you can continue after this. When he is in it, Fennec Shand is fucking running the show, bro. She's running the show. So it's kind of like the Fennec Boba Mando show. It's interesting. Anyway, continue.
Yeah. I think they could go in an interesting direction with Fennec, to be honest. But we'll see how that pans out. Look, I think as a whole, as a season, this is one of the ones where I feel like the blueberry system is going to be harsh, rather than fair, because I think, I mean, this is a 3.5. It's better than a 3. It's not a 4.
We don't do halves. We don't do halves.
No, we don't do halves. We don't do halves ever.
Don't even mention it then. You know,
not even if we had a dark saber. So I think I'm gonna have to give it a 3 bloob, which is fine. I reckon, and this is a bit mad to say, but I reckon had they had the Mandalorian come in episode 6 and 7, but still had Boba appear and stuff, and give Boba a little bit more time with the sand people,
the Tusken Raiders, yeah,
because that was very like
Dances with Wolves.
Dances with Wolves, yeah. And actually, I was gutted. I was gutted for Boba. I was like, what the fuck?
And the sand people.
You know, he had a good thing going there. Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. It's a bit difficult for it to be like, I mean, I was genuinely confused when he went back and everyone was slaughtered. I was like, is this the same group? Because this feels very heartless. Which is good, I guess, in a way. It's quite cutthroat, but I feel like it suffered by. I wonder what the writing was like. Were they writing the Book of Boba Fett?
Yeah,
and then it got to a point where they were like,
"It's not enough here.
This is a bit, it's a bit thin here with story." I wonder whether or not some of this was supposed to be
in Mando 3.
rather than one episode. It be like 2 or 3 episodes worth of content. And then they've just gone, do you know what, get rid of that and get the Mandalorian involved. Yeah. Because I don't mind him turning up. It does make sense. It annoys me a little bit that Grogu's turn up as well. It's kind of like,
yeah,
I think, does he have to be here?
Is it? Well, yeah, it's interesting because I'll dovetail off your score. And I think what happened is there's just not enough content with Boba there. And the way out of his situation is kind of impossible without the help of the Mandalorian and Grogu. The way it's just written and built up, like this big climactic battle. I mean, we'll get onto it later, but his army, and I'm doing a little quotation marks because it makes me laugh how small it is never going to be able to take down the threat that's imposed upon them without the help of like a Mando character. So I kind of think they had to sort of write him into it, like you said, like the final episodes. But then I reckon, I mean, it's tough because I'm caught in two minds. I'm sitting there going, I love the stuff with Luke and Grogu, and I love I just loved everything about it. Just having a glimpse of Luke training someone, and we'll get onto it in more detail and stuff like that. So there's a part of me that's like, that's just a lovely treat that I just wasn't expecting. And for that reason, I'm kind of like, oh, that's amazing. And if I take away the name of the series, and like I said, if you just phrased it as something else, I think it would have obviously gone down
Tatooine stories.
Yeah, you know, whatever. But then why is Grogu? And, you know, anyway. But it's, for me, it was already very good, even before the Mandalorian showed up. It was good. I mean, it was good to very good. It was like a, you know, it was definitely a decent show. Like I felt the stuff with Boba was very interesting. I like the deep dive into the Tusken Raiders. I love that. I was like, okay, peeling a bit of information about it. There's like a cool sand monster thing at some point. There's a train sequence which I thought was amazing. There's loads of stuff in there that's just really cool. It makes me laugh how Tatooine's become quite comical in this show. Like some of it's quite slapstick, which is kind of cute in a way, but also like you're supposed to fear, you know, the Hutts and this big crime organization that's sort of sprung up over thousands of years. But overall, I'm going to give the show a 4, and I'll tell you something. If it was, I mean, the finale alone gets a 5. Because it's just incredible. I actually can't fault the finale in any way, shape, or form. I think it does so many things.
Do you reckon?
I think it does so many things on so many levels where I'm just like, even at fan service, but I think the dialogue's good. I think the acting's good. I think, and this is the thing that's, I think, is amazing about, and this is why I think Star Wars should be a serialized show from now on, regardless. I mean, yeah, maybe occasionally there's a film, but it just works so well as a show format. It gives you so much more time with different characters, and the special effects, they don't take a hit. They look incredible. Like I was watching these last episodes going, if we look back at this in 20 years, it's going to look fantastic. You know, it's going to look absolutely amazing. The anime, sort of the 3D animation on like the Rancor and just the starfighters and the space stuff, the ships. I was just like, this looks unbelievable. So I really think Star Wars has found its correct format of storytelling. And people might say it's had that for ages with Clone Wars and the Bad Batch and Star Wars Rebels. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I love those shows. I definitely enjoy their serialized format. It does give them more opportunity. But it's nice to see elements of those sort of what started off as like quite childish animated shows and definitely grew into an adult audience. Starting to see those elements come through into the live action arena now, especially with some characters that turn up later on, which is great. So I like what they're doing. I think they just fucked up with the name, and you know, we'll get onto it later. But you mentioned Grogu coming back, and I was like, I'm a bit annoyed that resolution's happened so quickly. I kind of feel like Mando might have needed a season on his own to really have a bit of a soul-searching journey, but we can get on to that and, you know, our hopes for Mando 3 and all that jazz. So 4 for me.
I can't believe that Grogu's back now and that they're going to go into the Mandalorian season 3 just as a duo again.
Yep. And it is interesting. I mean, there's a part of me, the cynic within me, that Disney were just like, look, guys, Grogu is like, as a toy, like I've got one on my desk right now and I've got another animatronic one ordered, right? And I'm a grown man. Now, I think Disney are probably sitting there going, I'm probably going to buy a plushy one for my little boy. So
I'm just going to order one now, actually.
This is like me and the fucking, what are those little...
Porg. That's in the bin now.
Those porg, yes, bin that. It's in the, actually, I went to a car boot sale, or what you Americans might call a yard sale. Put it in the yard sale.
Yard sale, yeah.
but I think there's a part of me that's like, Disney are like, you can't go in, we have to have Grogu in the show because he's an absolute cash cow. Do you know what I mean? And Jon Favreau and Robert Rodriguez are probably just sitting there going, you know what, we prefer writing episodes with him in it anyway, to be honest. So they're probably like, yeah, okay, let's do that. But anyway, we'll get on to all that. Before we get into the season highlights, just a quick plug here to say, John's mentioned it already, if you want to see me ride John like a Rancor, and that is not a sexual pun or anything, you have to go to www.patreon.com/fancritical. Now, if there is no post to do with me riding John, it'll be there one day, just not right now, okay? But other than that, there
budget constraints.
There are some other posts, some bonus content. You can get a bit more interactive with us if you like. But there is also the money that you give us helps us run this podcast, basically, and allows us to make these shows. So it's extremely important. And we have mentioned before that hopefully in the future we will do some fan critical productions, short films, maybe some short audio dramas. Who knows? You know, the sky's the limit, okay? Once we get out of the Sarlacc pit. So please go to patreon.com/fancritical and donate anything you can to help, you know, help us. Help us out. That's all we want, isn't it, John? Just a little bit of help.
Help us.
Help us.
Just a little bit of help would be nice, to be honest.
This listeners. Is the way.
You know what I mean?
This is the way, listeners. This is the way. Right, John, season highlights. I think what I've done here is I've written down a list of things I felt were essential to making this a what I think is a very good season and you think is a good to good season.
Yeah.
Don't take that the wrong way, listeners. I'm sure a lot of you agree with us that by the end it gets much better. But we'll start at the beginning because this show is about Boba Fett. And the interesting thing about Boba Fett is he's such a fascinating character because with limited screen time in the original trilogy, he became a cult character to the point where he has been, it's been talked about, he had his own film originally, which was very famously canned about 4 years ago. And obviously now that's evolved into this show. So a lot of elements from that are probably in this. Now, what's fascinating about Boba Fett is we don't know much about the guy. Like, obviously we get a look into Jango Fett and stuff in the prequels, and we know who he is, what he looks like, you know, that sort of thing, because we know he's a clone. But it's interesting to me, well, he's not a clone, he's the actual son, but he looks like the clones. You know what I mean? Anyway, I digress.
Why does he look like the clones?
Because he's Jango's son, so he's got a likeness to the clones. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but he is a clone, surely.
Yeah, well, a real one with sperm and an egg and everything. So.
Because you don't look exactly like your dad, do you?
No, I agree. I agree. But anyway, yeah. So we don't know much about him. So this is nice to finally get into Boba Fett's character. Now, John, I'm going to say something right now. I thought Boba Fett was going to be, and obviously we've seen him in Mando season 2, but overall I thought he was going to be a more villainous character, have some villainous traits to him, but he's a saint. The man is a saint. There's not a bad bone in his body, is there?
Silly, isn't it?
It's silly. A little silly, isn't it? Do you think that's because, and we'll come on to one of my highlights, is, and we've talked about it, is Boba Fett's journey with the Tusken Raiders, the Sand People. We've already touched on it. It's a bit like Dances with Wolves. Nice to give them some story, but also to soften the cruel, and I say cruel, I'm doing little quotation marks again because I don't think he is cruel, heart of Boba Fett. You know what I mean? The Sand People are there
to
soften
it. I mean, that is... Yeah, that, I mean, that is exactly what it's supposed to be. It's just too quick, isn't it? And his entire personality is, and again, I'll let it go. I'm not. I mean, there are to go on like Star Wars forums.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's many people that are furious about this portrayal of
Boba.
Ooh. Who cares, right? I mean, fucking hell. Like it's Star Wars. Like, you're never gonna have like a protagonist that is like evil. Should he have been a little bit more villainous? Maybe a little bit more cutthroat. Maybe he at one point he like kind of sacrifices. Imagine like, so Jaime Lannister. Now, obviously he has his growth over a number of seasons, but obviously there's that bit where he escapes and he fucking kills his cousin to like to get out of that situation. And it's just so cutthroat.
After sleeping with his sister. After sleeping with his sister.
Yeah, that as well. Yeah.
He's made some decisions. Things. Yeah.
He's made some very, very dodgy decisions, has to be said.
Pushed a boy out a window. The list goes on.
Yes. But the point is that he starts his growth where you kind of like, you start to feel a bit sorry for him when he's captured. And yet he sacrifices one of his many Lannister cousins to get out. And it's like, oh, what a bastard. And it's kind of like, I mean, you're never going to have that in this, but there could have been something where it's like, Boba escapes from somewhere with someone else and they're clearly working together.
Yeah.
And then Boba just kills him anyway because he's like, it's easier to go on the run on my own with this random guy.
I thought he was going to do that to the weird alien creature who sells him out when he tries to escape. You know, the little trunk one, one with the trunk, you know? Anyway, that would have been good. Instead, that one gets eaten by a sand monster, which I thought was a nice little highlight. That was wicked. I didn't know that was a thing. I'm not sure if it was made up for the show, but I've never heard of these sand monsters. Tatooine's got very interesting now. So it's got the giant sand dragon from Mando season 2, which is obviously akin to Dune, and there's a lot of Dune elements in Star Wars and a lot of Star Wars elements in Dune, funnily enough. And now it's got this sand
the
monster.
The spice.
And they talk about spice in this fucking show. Yeah, 100%.
Unbelievable. Why has that happened? Why are they doing that? This is ridiculous, man.
It is. They could name it anything else.
Fucking the spice.
Yeah, literally the same thing. And it's worth a lot of money again. So.
The spice melange.
I thought the train heist was very cool. The train sort of bit where he teaches the Tusken Raiders how to ride speeders. And
like a Bentha.
Like a Bentha.
Like a Bentha.
Yeah. And he's
just
nodding.
Bizarre.
Bizarre.
This is Boba Fett, for fuck's sake. What's he doing?
The only thing that would have made this whole situation weirder is if he fell in love with one of the sand people. I was thinking, is that where they're going to go with this? That one who was teaching him, you know, the sort of...
Yeah.
You know which one I mean.
Well, she was quality, wasn't she?
She's cool.
She was really good.
She's cool. Yeah. In fact, I liked all of the...
What do they look like underneath the...
That's... I don't know. I want to know. But maybe I don't want to know.
I'm not Googling it.
No. It's a subcategory in some websites that you go on, John. Just check it out. The train stuff was wicked. And then obviously the Tusken Raiders get decimated, which I thought was quite powerful and gives, like we've talked about, gives Boba a sense of injustice. And, you know, he wants revenge against the biker gang. And I'm doing quotation marks again. For some reason, there's a Tatooine biker gang now going around. Ridiculous. but he's having all these visions about his past whilst he's in the Bacta tank, which is healing him very well, I might add. He looks fantastic when he comes out of that thing. And he loves his Bacta tank so much that even during the run of the show, he's offering its services to everyone. Oh, I'll give you a run in the Bacta tank. You'll be all right. He literally is. You're like fucking when Chris Standen turns up.
Would you
up,
though?
Like, yeah, he's like...
I don't know if you would. I think I'd be like, that's mine. No one else get in there.
Yeah, he offers it to the fucking Wookiee later on. He's like, oh, are you a trip to the back to tank, mate? Like, it's like... Hair
How
everywhere.
Big is his back to tank? It looks like it just fits Boba. I'm pretty sure it does. Yeah. Now you're going to lend it to like an 8-foot Wookiee.
Yeah. Hair everywhere.
What do you make of that Wookiee?
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about him now. So I want to talk about, you know, some of the players around Boba. We'll talk about Fennec Shand first because she's obviously the most important. Obviously, in Mando season 2, Mando sort of kills her. And then Boba saves her life. And she is a master assassin, and she is very adept, very smart, and she is essentially the hand of the king, as you were, or the hand of the daimyo in this series. And I thought she was pretty cool. And this is the other thing about Boba. I feel like he needs to be a bit more assertive. Like she seems to be taking the lead, which is what I was saying earlier. Like she is the one who is telling him how everything works, but he's been in this business for decades. He's serving at the hand of the Hutts. You know what I mean?
Mm.
He knows the inner workings of all this shit. He's been there. He was part of it. So it's a bit interesting to me that she's like running the show. I felt they should have given him some more dialogue. Maybe they were like on set and they were like, oh, actually, maybe we need to share this dialogue out because it's a bit weird if it all comes from Boba or something. I don't know. It just felt weird to me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind that he's a bit kind of naive on the political side.
Mm.
But, I mean, he should definitely be streetwise.
Oh, yeah.
And he isn't. And he also, like, I mean, everything goes against him. And he seems quite
chilled
about it, he's the famous Boba Fett. People should be terrified of him. Like, when he's in that room and he's like, look, are you going to join me in this fight? And they're all like, no. And he's like, all right, then.
See you later.
That's all right. Well, okay. Well, just don't get involved. Give me a word that you're not going to get involved. You know they're getting involved. Like, what's going on here? It's mental.
These people.
The bit where it's like
are scumbags.
They're in the fucking They're in that fucking burnt out bar, and it's like, look, we'll hole up in the palace because that's definitely better to do. It's a much better place to hold fort. It's like, well, no, let's stay here in this shit bar. As a symbol to these people. And he's like, okay, yeah. What? Why is he taking fucking advice from this like android girl? Like, go away. It's mental. He's too suggestible. It's like, who knows? He comes across as a bit of a moron, to be honest.
He does. But he has got some cool maneuvers, which we'll get onto later, which sort of pull him away from being... I guess the thing is when there's this mystical character that people have made stories up about and people like fans and people have literally an extended canon universe stuff made these fantastical stories about him up. Then when actually someone goes, you know what, we will revive that character and they give you something. If it's not up to what you were thinking, do you know what I mean? Then you're just going to reject it. And I think a lot of people are surprised at how little he wore his armor and how little, because I think that really pissed people off from what I've heard. And also how little edge he had, like actual edge, like, you know, like we talked about that ruthless streak and streetwise now, which is interesting. But another person on his team is Chrysanthemum, the gladiator Wookiee, who is in extended universe stuff with the Darth Vader comics and stuff like that. He is fucking awesome. I love him. I love him to bits. Getting Wookiees involved, just in a capacity other than Chewbacca, is a very good thing for me. And that time they're having that war on the Wookiee planet in Revenge of the Sith, I think, where Yoda's there and before Order 60, whatever.
Order 66.
Before that. So getting a Wookiee in a more sort of aggressive, villainous sort of character, you know, someone with an edge, a Wookiee who is, you know, out for himself and quite evil at times, but you can tell you're gonna warm up to him. You know what I mean? You knew straight away you're gonna warm up to this guy. You know, you love him, don't you? You love him. You love a Wookiee.
Definitely. He's a big fella, isn't he?
Huge.
Big old Wookiee.
Huge.
Because you know, I mean, Chewbacca is also very tall. He's quite trim, I'd say, Chewbacca.
Yeah, he's a lean one. He's been on the he's been on a diet like me. He's just slimming down.
I think if you were to shave Chewbacca, he'd probably be like basketball.
That would
basketball-esque.
There's a vision,
I reckon,
for you. Yeah. What does a shaved Wookiee look like? Mental. I'm just picturing it. It's terrifying.
Are you Googling it?
Don't do
Chewbacca
it. Shaved.
No, why not? Chewbacca shaved.
You're going to get some really weird shit coming up there. I'm telling you that right now. I reckon some sexual thing is going to pop up.
Okay, I mean, this is a bit weird. Jesus, look at this.
Oh my God. It looks like a human.
Yeah.
Like we're looking at a picture
of... That does make sense, though. I mean,
Neanderthalic type man.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got a big egg head. Like
Egg Boy.
Egg Boy.
Dr. Robotnik.
I'm trying to think who he looks like. He looks a bit like Janice Slint. I know it's another
Game of Thrones reference.
Sorry.
That's a very obscure one as well.
A little bit like if you
That is obscure,
awful,
season two of the show.
But yeah, so he's a big boy. He's a big boy. From memory, he's got like a little dyed beard or something to show he's a little bit eviler.
He's cool, man. He's got a dyed goatee for a Wookiee.
Yeah, he's got edge. I 100%. Think he's got more edge than Boba.
Yes, because you can tell he's done some bad things, and he has. He's a gladiator. He's a very famous gladiator fighting in the fighting pits or whatever. Not of Marine. That's another Game of Thrones reference, but of Star Wars. so I like him. I think he's a fantastic addition, and yeah, I really hope he's in more Mando stuff, and I'm sure he will be because he's fucking cool. I've got an issue with the biker, what I've called here, John, the youth group biker gang with mods.
Yeah.
Fucking abysmal.
The YMCA.
Fucking
they're terrible.
Abysmal. Do you know what makes them even worse? Is one, the accents they put on, terrible.
Ugh.
Two, they're riding around in fucking hover Vespas. What the fuck is going on here?
They're so slow.
But they're just so, it's so un-Star Wars. You've got like a fluorescent pink Vespa type hover bike and then a fluorescent red and yellow. It's just, it looks terrible.
I mean, it does look terrible. I would forgive it a little bit, though, because they're clearly supposed to be like a counterculture, like mods.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily mind that off the back of a massive universe conflict that just comes to an end.
Yep.
So you're going to have this like boom of like alternate counterculture-esque like teenage kids, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously they're all androids, aren't they? Or they're doing the cyberpunk thing.
So they're modding their bodies with parts. So like Fennec Shand was taken to a modder to be saved. They're like replacing arms and eyes and shit.
Yeah, not penises.
Could do.
Disney, for fuck's sake. Could do easily as well.
So
I don't necessarily mind about the colours, although it does seem a bit silly. Much like when Gaz really got fucked off with the dancing planet in Rise of Skywalker, where you've just got these people
celebrating the dancing
aliens.
They're
just constantly dancing.
Wasn't that like a festival, though? That was like a festival of life or something?
But I think it was a festival that goes on forever. But anyway. So... But the big problem I had was the speed of these. They were so slow.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, particularly if you are... if you're in a conflict... if you're just trying to get from A to B in a relatively safe place, fine, go at that pace. Whereas if you're in a conflict and someone's taking shots at you, don't get on that bike. I'd rather be behind a wall, stable. I knew immediately when they popped up, I was like, people are going to hate this lot.
Oh, yeah.
And then straight onto Twitter and Instagram, Oh my word, the hate that these guys get. Everything they do, actually. The there was a big thing about the spin. Do you see that?
No.
So one of the so this is in the last episode where you've got the big Wookiee, the young lady.
Yes.
And then the guy with like the robotic eye.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're obviously trying to run away from
battle droids.
I can't remember if they're being chased by the big battle droid thing. Yeah. In fact, no, I think it's when it might be some soldiers or whatever. Yeah, but anyway, yeah. They kind of stop, turn, and the guy with the cyborg eye does like a little spin.
Yeah.
360 degree spin and then shoots. And that was just trending because everyone was like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. What is this spin?
It feels very un-Star Wars because Star Wars is quite, especially in this era of Star Wars, very unchoreographed, very rough, and very sort of everyone doesn't really know an exact style because that was hundreds of years ago or, you know, when the Jedi were actually at the height of their power and out, you know what I mean? Like, it just feels this is meant to be all very rustic and rough, all the combat and the choreography. Yeah. And it feels
it's Western, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I didn't like them, John. I'm just gonna say it right now. That's one of the weakest part of the show, without a shadow of a doubt. Bizarre addition, but obviously Boba needed soldiers. Let's get on to some of his other crew who are very important. Mando, who returns in episode 5, and his introduction is brilliant, going through that butchers. I loved it, absolutely loved it. And then he just whips out the darksaber and just fucking mows everyone down. So good. And we find
injures
out
himself.
He is not one with that amateur blade yet. he basically catches up with the other Mandalorians, the blacksmith and or the armorer, and the other one who challenges him to a fight. And he gets exiled from the Mandalorian ways until he proves himself worthy again, because he removed his helmet, which we know he famously did at the end of season 2 to reveal his face to Grogu, which was actually a beautiful, beautiful moment. And I feel personally
sad as well, because they'll never see each other ever again. Oh, actually, no, because in the very next episode of The Mandalorian now, they're going to be together.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Yep. That's the thing. That's a good point, John. If you think about it, like, if someone's binging
The
Mandalorian,
if you just watch The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it makes no sense, because you'll just be like, what the fuck is going on here?
What have I missed here?
They haven't thought about that, have they? Jesus Christ.
No.
But Mando's exiled, and I think that's good for him, because I'm sick of the Mandalorian way, to be honest with you. Like, you know, don't take your helmet off. And this is what I'm going to get onto with the Jedi in a minute. You got to fucking learn to wake up and change with the times, because it's getting ridiculous now. All right, Mandalorians, you've been wiped out. Yep. You know, let him take his helmet off once in a while. He's the one who's fucking kept you going. Jesus Christ. Anyway, I thought Mando was...
Discipline, though, isn't it? It's discipline. Can't go, this is the way, but sometimes that's all right.
Well,
no,
I think
this is the way.
No, is it though? Anyway, Mando, very good. And it was great. He lifted the show to a whole new dimension. And just having him back was so unexpected. I expected him to come back for like one episode, like you said, but to come back to be the joint star character of the season was brilliant. And another surprise was there for us with Grogu and Luke. Now, Mando goes to give something that looks like mithril to Grogu.
I thought that.
Yeah, it's just a mithril shirt. And he turns up at this planet, and not only do you have Luke training Grogu, but you also have Ahsoka there, Ahsoka Tano. Now, and this is the start of the Jedi Academy, the famous Jedi Academy that Luke starts training younglings at, and then Kylo Ren destroys after Luke almost maybe kills him in his sleep. Very confusing sort of set of circumstances there.
Well, this is the thing. So, I mean, there were some people saying that, well, because Grogu goes off with Luke to go and join the Academy, he's dead. But then it's like, well, I mean, he may not even be a Jedi now. He might walk away from that.
I think, yeah, we'll get on to the decision in a minute, but I think, yeah, Grogu, his lifespan gives Disney carte blanche to do what they want. They can go for a teenage Groot like Grogu in a new film. Do you know what I mean? Very possible.
I think they would have to, wouldn't they?
They had that, yeah. It would be ridiculous not to.
Cool, that'd be a difficult casting, wouldn't it?
Who was Groot in Guardians? Vin Diesel, wasn't it? It was Vin Diesel, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Get Vin Diesel back again. That is weird casting. So Grogu is being trained by Luke, and we get extended looks at his training. It's like Empire on steroids. It's like, it's the exact mirror image. Like Grogu's literally in a backpack with Luke as they're doing flips and shit and climbing trees and, you know, looking around this beautiful planet and trying to focus and move stuff. And I loved every minute of it, John. And I have to say, when Luke turned up at the end of Mandalorian season 2, it was a jaw dropping, one of the greatest television moments I've seen for a very long time, because one, I didn't expect it. Two, seeing him at the height of his power, just mowing people down, like these robots down. It reminded me of when we saw Vader at the end of Rogue One, and we talked about it then. And that was just glorious. It's terrifying. So we talked about how the face technology at the end of that wasn't the best. It was okay. It was okay.
It's all right. Yeah.
Oh my word. What has technology done in the last year to make it almost perfect? It is no longer Uncanny Valley. It is. We're totally there. You'd never need an actor again. Do you know what I mean?
It does have its kind of shoddy moments where you kind of, and in a nice way, actually, you kind of appreciate the humanity a little bit more, because when you look at this CGI and you can kind of, it does look, there are moments where it looks dead behind the eyes a little bit.
Okay. I agree. But blinking.
And also there is that. No, I mean, fucking hell. I'm not having a go. If they're listening, imagine that. Like, well, what have you done?
What have you done with your life?
I'm just thinking. Yeah.
Someone look exactly like Luke Skywalker. All right. So that's a great achievement. I thought it looked amazing. And I loved Grogu and Luke's relationship, because Grogu's like, he's keen, but he's still a kid. He's like a baby. He's literally a toddler, which is so hard for me to fathom. Like, he was around when the fucking Jedi Temple was destroyed.
Well, we see it, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's mad. That's like 60 or 70 years at this point ago. And he still hasn't, he's like blanked those memories or something. And Luke even says it, he knows loads. I'm just helping him remember. Did you love their whole relationship, John, like I did? Did you?
Yeah, look, the only problem I have with Luke and Grogu and these scenes is that they don't belong in this season for me. That's my only issue. It's not that I didn't, in terms of what happened and stuff, I mean, love it. If anything, give me more of it, but just not in this season. And I'm not saying that they just do a series that's just Luke and Grogu. That would be ridiculous, but even more so, because most of it would just be Luke, a CGI, probably the most expensive TV series of all time. Well, but
they've talked about getting Sebastian Stan, who plays the Winter Soldier, to play young Luke. And I think that's a very good shout. He looks just like him. He literally looks just like him. He shaved his beard off. So,
yeah, it's weird. I wonder if, I don't know what, fucking hell, Mark Hamill. Luke Skywalker then. I wonder what Mark Hamill thinks about the whole CGI thing and whether or not he would prefer
to be in it.
His legacy to be, well, I mean, he definitely prefer to be in it, but I mean, I don't care.
Get the big bucks.
How good the de-aging technology is. You're like, oh, fucking Luke's put on a few pounds. So what's going on here? I wonder if Mark Hamill would prefer it to a younger Luke Skywalker to be played by Sebastian Stan or another actor. I don't know.
I think he'd be all right with it. Being interesting, some money for it, big bucks, because he's getting money for this.
Yeah, that's all it is it?
Yeah, money. Is it? Probably.
Yeah. So not like the artistic integrity or wanting to hand over the baton.
None of that. Don't worry about that. Just give me the big bucks.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Sebastian Stan calls up Mark Hamill. Look, I won't accept this without your blessing. He's like, yeah, you've got my blessing, but what's the bunts?
What's the bunts?
You're like, sorry, what do you mean? Well, there's no money. Well, then no, then.
No. I'll be on set tomorrow. This is what I'm talking to you about, these Mandalorians and the Jedi. Now, I always got the impression that after the return of the Jedi and the, you know, Luke starting his own academy and stuff like that, that he was going to take the teachings of the Jedi and do it his way, which did involve more attachment, some emotion, he's been in a situation that Grogu's been in when he was on fucking Dagobah and his friends are in trouble and he's like, nah, see you later, Yoda. I'm going to go fucking fight, I'm going to go fight Vader and free my mates who were captured by, you know, in the Cloud City. And he knows.
You're not ready, mate.
You're not ready. Yeah, you're not ready. Don't worry about me. I'll be all right. But he knows the situation.
Where's your hand gone? Oh, for fuck.
But he's been there and he's actually come through that situation in Empire, and not only that, retained his strong relationships with Leia, Han, all these people. You know what I mean? In Return of the Jedi and stuff. So why the fuck is he saying to Grogu, you've got to choose? I think that's really unfair to Grogu. Like, you know.
Yeah, but it might, you know, but that might be part of the course.
Yeah, well, he's failed,
like, once
then,
he gets
he?
His... No, but I'm saying, like, once he graduates, then it might be like, all right, well, look, you've got the certificate now.
And his lightsaber. So there you go.
Yeah, so you got your lightsaber, you got your certificate, you can go do whatever you want now. You do a master's if you want or whatever.
Mm. What was interesting about that is you do see Yoda's lightsaber. How the fuck has he got that? I'm sitting there thinking, because Yoda's lightsaber was last seen Revenge of the Sith. He loses it when he fights Sidious and then escapes. He must have built another one with a kyber crystal on Dagobah. That's all I can think about, because that is the last time we see Yoda's lightsaber. You know, it's like, how the fuck did Luke's lightsaber turn up in Force Awakens? You know, that fell down a fucking chute in the Cloud City.
Are we going to fill those gaps between Revenge of the Sith and Empire with Yoda?
Well, I'll tell you something. We'll talk about Obi-Wan in a minute, but that's coming. And there could be some stuff in there that sheds a light on it. Maybe Obi-Wan has it. I don't know. Grogu, he gets given this impossible decision, and I think it's a bit unfair. Like, I just wish that the Jedi would form a new path. And I think...
You've got to create some sort of drama. If he just went, look, I'll teach you how to wield a lightsaber, and you just fucking come and go as you please.
Yeah, that'd
and
be
you'd
sick.
Be a bit like, well... Well, that might happen.
No, I guess what's interesting is, I guess Rey at the end of Rise of Skywalker is forging a new direction for the Jedi. You know, she is potentially doing that. So that's, I guess...
Yeah. Straight to the bottom of Rotten Tomatoes. That's where she's...
I like Rey as a character. I've got no issues with Rey at all. I think the scripting was terrible at times, but, you know, her as a character is great. I think she's a fantastic protagonist. Anyway, I digress. Grogu's the future of Star Wars. We all know that. So, played by Vin Diesel. So... this is new franchise after the Fast franchise, so just get ready.
Yeah.
Right, so we leave that there, but I just want to say lovely surprise to see Jedi stuff. I couldn't believe it. We know we're getting an Ahsoka show, so she had to sort of fuck off because she's going to be fighting Thrawn, General Admiral Thrawn, or whatever he's called, in her show. So this is what I mean. We're getting some great shows coming up for these guys. Like, I'm genuinely excited.
Well, here's a question for you. And I say this, this is not an attack at all on
the clones,
on the direction that they've gone in, or like, you know, literally cannot do any Star Wars pods without something turning into, oh, that's what that show was called, or that book was called. So, it really rancors on me.
Yeah.
But Cad Bane turns up. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, oh my God.
Oh my goodness.
No, not everyone does that.
Uh-huh.
There are a large group of people that are like, who the fuck's this guy? And this is the problem that I have, is that it kind of, and look, the animated series, the animated universe, should mm-hmm. I say, has been massively successful. Certainly, I mean, it started as a gap filler.
Carried Star
I think
Wars.
From memory, yeah, I think from memory, they really started to push them prior to Revenge of the Sith coming out in the cinema in the UK. That's when I remember it being this thing. And obviously, it's kicked on from there, as you alluded to earlier. It's got a little bit more adult.
Very much so.
And it's massively popular. But there are still a group of people, me.
Yeah.
And there'll be loads of people that don't watch the animated stuff at all that will be like, who's this guy? And then there'll be other stuff. Like, I mean, look, that realistically, okay, I'll give Ahsoka a pass because, like, visually she's quite, you would have seen her in loads of stuff, even if you don't watch the animated stuff. But even someone like her, if you just watch the films and you just watched The Mandalorian, you'd kind of just be like, who's this person? What's her what's her relevance?
Mm.
And obviously it's huge. Yeah, you know, you miss Anakin's Padawan.
Like. Yeah, that's it. You miss those subtle moments. And one of the ones that we should have mentioned was the fact that she's there with Luke and Anakin was her master. You know, and her mentor for fucking years and made her the Jedi that she became before he turned to the dark side. She's literally devastated by that, obviously, and has been fighting against Anakin for fucking generations. And then she's face to face with his son, who is now probably the most powerful Jedi in the universe. It's like, so
yeah,
it's a fascinating dynamic that you're right, if you don't know that history, just loses that moment. Whereas, but if you are a super fan, you know, I guess you appreciate it, but it's crazy to think that.
Well,
she
does that little thing where she says, oh yeah, your dad was like that.
Your dad was like that. And yeah, and it's like, yeah.
Dad used to love that, to be honest.
Oh, he was a silly sausage, wasn't he? Oh, Anakin.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. He used to be a right laugh.
Anyway, so you're right,
but
John.
Yeah, but that was my complaint there. Cad Bane turning up.
Mm.
I mean, look, okay, he looks cool anyway.
He is cool.
And he turns up like a proper grizzled...
Western Clint Eastwood.
Cowboy.
Yeah.
But again, it's like, I mean, I'm watching it and I'm like, all right, well, clearly this guy is someone. I'll Google him. And it's like too much of it. It's almost like it's going, yeah, well, if you want to know how good that is, you have to do your fucking research beforehand. So, well, I don't want to watch this show. I don't want to have to watch multiple shows to know everything that's going on. You should just be able to watch something self-contained and go, right, okay, that's fine. I don't need to watch the rest of that stuff.
Yeah, I guess.
And it kind of feels like it's pushing you in that direction. As we've said, if you watch The Mandalorian Season 1, Mandalorian Season 2, and you're like, I won't watch The Book of Boba Fett, I'll just watch The Mandalorian Season 3, and you're like, right, I wonder how this is going to start. what's he doing back in the spaceship? Where's he come from? They had a like an emotional, like they left. It would be like watching, again, we keep doing Game of Thrones references, but it's like, right, Jon Snow's left to go to the wall. And then the next episode, he's fucking, he's the king in the north now. What's happened here? What's happened in these last 2 years?
Yeah.
Silly.
I mean, you are right. Cad Bane for me was obviously quite exciting to see because I knew his character from the animated stuff. But if you don't know him, I think he's a very visually striking character within the Star Wars universe. I think you see him and you're like you said, his introduction is amazing. That, you know, the duel, it's brilliant. I loved it, every moment of it.
Yeah, I mean, they sort of know that the wider audience going to be like, who's this guy? So to give him some sort of impact, they have him come along and easily dispatch of
Cobb.
What's his? Yeah. Cobb Van.
Cobb Vance, whatever.
Vance or Vance or whatever. So it's kind of like, so they know. So they're like, right, okay. We'll have him, make him look a fool. Although you know he's definitely not dead. I mean, clearly shoots him in the shoulder,
and
then he
the
puts
sheriff,
about seven.
And I shot the deputy. Definitely shot.
Yeah,
the deputy.
And I shot the deputy seven times. Definitely dead. I wounded the sheriff, and I annihilated the deputy. Like mental. I mean, he was visually very striking. Is he dead?
We'll get onto that in the finale. We'll just get onto the finale, John, because you know, Cad Bane turns the tide essentially, because everyone fears him. He's got a huge history as a bounty hunter. He's actually defeated Jedi, etc. You know, he's no fucking slouch. He is probably the best bounty hunter in the galaxy. He turns up. Final episode, we have the war between the Syndicate pushing spice across fucking Tatooine, and then you've also got Boba Fett's army filled with mod bikers, Chris Danthan, Fennec Shand, Mando, and Grogu, who eventually chooses the Mithril shirt and returns to Mando and forgoes his Jedi training. Two things there, John. Lovely touch when R2 arrives with Grogu. Loved it. Loved every moment of it. Beautiful. Just so good to have R2. The mechanic woman is brilliant. I love her. I think she's great in the show. She's perfect tonally. Great for sort of bouncing stuff off of. The droid humor's great. Worked well with R2. And to have Grogu just back was incredible. I want to talk about...
I'll tell you what weirded me out about her, though.
Go on.
So Grogu turns up. She's like, hey, the little guy's here. And it's like, I know he didn't fly the ship. Obviously, I know, you know, it was flown by R2. That's fine. So, all right. Yeah, you know, have to mug the audience off, but whatever. And then she's like, right, get those shitty little disgusting slimy worms out. Because Grogu wants to eat. It's like, who else is eating that? Who's eating that? Is she eating that? Well, is that what she eats?
Mate, I'll tell you something. She does concern me because she slept with a Jawa. And now, each to their own.
Very hairy.
Each to their own. What do they look like? Yeah, very hairy. Yeah. Little fellas. Yeah. Where are they going? What's going on
disgusting.
Under there?
Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting.
There you go. So I'm just saying, she is probably eating them. She's fucking, I don't know, she's crazy.
Yeah.
She does what she wants.
Yeah, well.
All right?
Yeah.
But what was fun is, obviously we lost Mando's ship in season 2 of The Mandalorian. And what ship do they... I actually loved this whole moment of restoring this Naboo starfighter from the pre-Empire era. Because when you watch the prequels and then you see episodes 4, 5, and 6, there's a very interesting reason why everything looks so outdated and old, and it's because the Empire's basically just disregarded any of that shit and it pushed its own stuff out, and all of that old new looking tech has just degraded into nothingness or disappeared from the galaxy. So to see this Naboo ship not only restored like a kit car, which was awesome, but then also to see the pod racer type sequence with Mando driving it. Yeah, I was
just
like,
gonna test this out. Yeah.
Oh my God. It was amazing. It was so
I'm just gonna
much
test this
fun.
Out and just drive around episode one for a bit.
Hey Anakin, slow down. You punk. Yeah, no, it was, I loved
that was,
it.
You that like, was mad.
Did you like have it? Like, I like that's his new ship. I mean, it's going to be amazing for some battles.
Yeah.
I mean, and R2.
I mean, that will definitely shift some Lego, won't it?
Oh,
Mandalorians.
Got it on pre-order.
Naboo Starfighter, whatever it is.
R2 seeing exactly that as well. R2 seeing that Starfighter. That's very interesting because R2 was in that ship with Anakin, not that literal ship. Yeah. I'm sure, you know, another one like it. That just those little moments for me where it's like the dots connecting of characters is really special. And I love that. That's probably one of the best cameos of the season was that ship.
Certainly, when you talk about the budget and the effects, and I mean, that bit where it kind of rises out and then it's above the city.
Yeah,
and the way it looks, it just looks amazing.
Oh,
like,
it looks so
it doesn't
good.
Look out of place.
No,
it doesn't look like someone's just copied and pasted it over a bit of land.
Yeah,
where you're like, oh, that's a bit shoddy. That
it's beautiful.
Yeah, just ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Absolutely ridiculous. So now you have Grogu, Mandu, Chrysanthemum, the droid mod people.
Mandu, Mandu,
the two piggies. The Glamorgans who get fucking pushed off a cliff. Love them. So they're great.
Why are they letting themselves get pushed off a cliff? Swing for the fence. They've got an axe, isn't he? Swing for the fences, mate.
I was gutted when they fucking died, hell. Mate. I love them. I love those guys. They're brilliant.
That was it was so obvious that they were going to die, though. When you were doing like loads of the clips, and it's like, well, they're not going to kill any of those droids. They're definitely not going to kill the Wookiee.
Nope.
And then you just got these two copy and paste guards. So right, there you go. There's your red shirts, basically. So they're definitely dead.
Well, these action sequences are brilliant because you've essentially got the Syndicate versus Boba Fett's army. You've got amazing sequence with Mando and Boba Fett both jetpacking around, fucking firing all of their amazing weapons around.
That is awesome.
That is awesome. And that is what you sign up for when you go into... But this is where Boba Fett starts to get a bit of a name for himself in this final episode, because, you know, not only with the people of Tatooine, but the audience, because we're like, fucking hell, there he is. Where's he been all season? Here he is, finally. And I love...
Put your mask on and get someone else to do all the spins and stuff.
And I mean, if you want to talk about sort of one of the coolest moments ever, riding a Rancor into battle and just... It looked incredible. It was a mixture of puppetry, I think, and... animation, like 3D modeling, because it looked so good. And the Rancor, like, obviously another cult character from Star Wars canon, to have it back, brought by Danny Trejo, which was weird but cool, into this universe, and then him riding
why is he turning up? It takes you out of it, doesn't it?
He's in everything, like,
if you're Quentin Tarantino randomly standing there going, oh yeah, so basically what it is, you'd be like, what's he doing here?
What are you doing?
It's needless.
Anyway, I thought, did you love the Rancor stuff? Because I was like,
yeah, awesome.
How are they going to turn the tide?
And again, kind of like it sort of represents that, like, famously evil big, you know, character.
Yeah.
Monster. And then it's like, well, no, actually, you know, now he's on the
lovely.
Now he's on the side of good.
Yeah.
And it's like Boba, isn't it? Like, I mean, it looked amazing. He's fucking tough, isn't he? Because there were a fair few times I thought he was dead or dying. And it's
interesting that the door was able to kill him in Return of the Jedi, but multiple droid shots to the chest.
To the heart.
Anyway, I'll let it go because it was fucking awesome.
Heavy door. Very heavy door, apparently.
It was like Pacific Rim, but better. It was just better. It was amazing.
I mean,
Godzilla versus...
Maybe the Rancor in Return of the Jedi was like ill. He was a bit ill.
Looked pretty old. It's just living in a pit, John. It's not going to fucking do much, is it? Depressing. Kill me now.
Well, yeah. No vitamin D.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe he killed himself.
Lost on purpose.
Took a dive, yeah.
Yeah, give up. I loved it. I loved everything about it. Bobba comes in, saves the day with the Rancor, destroys the battle droids. That looked amazing, just ripping their limbs off, fucking going for it. Mando helping out with the Darksaber. And then you've got a face-off with Cad Bane. And Bobba uses his training of the Tusken Raiders and his specially crafted stick staff thing to subvert Cad Bane's expectations and kill him. Or
yeah.
Did he?
I'll tell you what I liked about that. Well, yeah. Let's just say he did. I'm sure he hasn't, but he should have done. I'll tell you what I liked about that. I genuinely did not see him doing that sweep and then killing him.
No.
Like, they didn't even...
Save him or something.
They didn't even... Yeah. I mean, that would have annoyed me if someone... Because he was lying there and it's like he'd accepted his fate and I was just like, fucking hell, this Boba Fett's useless, man. but then there you go. He swipes him, does that cool little stick, hits him on the head a couple of times. Like, all right, calm down. And Bonk. Then, stabs him in the heart. I was like, Jesus, that was awesome. And then the music kicks in and it's like, oh, yeah, that is cool.
It is cool. And it's interesting because Boba Fett and Cad Bane go back to the time when Boba was a child. You know, Jango trained or worked with Cad Bane, you know, so he's known Cad Bane his whole life. You know, there's that whole interesting thing. I mean, it's another snatched moment that you don't really quite grasp unless you know the characters, but they've got a history spanning 50, 60 years. You know what I mean? And so it's fucking Titanic duel when you actually think about it. So very interesting. And yeah, an end to Cad Bane, I think not, because I think he's another toy seller, John, and he's going to keep coming back to selling toys. Do you know what I mean? It's a fucking toy. It's a toy company. So
he might have a son.
Cad Shane.
Why would his surname change?
Good point. Chad Bane. Yeah,
Chad Bane. Sort of sounds like a pop artist, to be honest. But
it does. Probably a very successful one.
Yeah.
And, you know,
successful.
In Tatooine, once that bar was destroyed, they've lost a lot of artists. A lot of good musicians died that day. So they need some more.
Yeah. Taylor Swift just randomly pops up. What are you doing
in
this now?
What are you doing here?
Danny Trejo just applauding in the audience. I thought you were done for one episode. What's going on?
Nah, man. I'm here dropping off another Rancor, man.
Ridiculous.
Anyway, ridiculous. And that's kind of the resolution of the series, really. The Syndicate is wiped out by Fennec Shand, the heads of the Syndicate.
That was good. That was brutal.
Literally the slug of a mayor. And I can say that because he is literally a slug. He's useless. He's so funny. They all get wiped out. And
Was it a man or a woman? I forget.
It's a man.
Yeah? The mayor?
Yeah, the man slug. It sounds feminine, but I think it's like a man.
Yeah. Well, who cares?
Maybe it's a snail. Who knows? Anyway, Bobba is officially the daimyo of Tatooine. Mando and Grogu are reunited and are about to embark on The Mandalorian Season 3, where I'm sure there will be some appearances from Jedi again. So that's where we leave it. And I have to say, it's in a very healthy place. I wish some of it would have been held back. I'm delighted we got it, but I wish Grogu's journey would have taken a whole season for him to be with Luke and maybe learn some more tricks and then decide to go not be part of the school.
Yeah,
I love also
nice tricks.
Grogu's face when he sees the lightsaber. He's like, oh shit, what is that shiny thing? I want that.
Oh yeah, that's good. Yeah. I'll eat that. No.
But yeah, I'm very excited for Mando Season 3. I think The Mandalorian is now becoming arguably, and Grogu, Star Wars' best and most popular characters. I think it pulls in a non-Star Wars audience, the Mandalorian. There's something about it that maybe Grogu is the one that pulls them in, but it is like old school Western sort of bandit lifestyle, and I think people really relate to that more than some of the, you know, when people say Star Wars, they're like, oh, you're not into that, are you? Like, you know, people who aren't into it. But
it's just that.
I don't know. People.
Yeah. But oh, you're not into that, are you? All yeah. right. I don't even know you are. Just waiting at
the bus stop. And then you go, but you're into The Mandalorian. Oh, yeah, love The Mandalorian. That's what they say.
Yeah,
big time.
Yeah.
I thought, John, just before we wrap up, we would just say, are you excited for... So the next thing slated in the Star Wars universe is Obi-Wan, which comes out in May, starring Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Starring Boba Fett and Mandalorian again. Imagine that.
Probably.
Like, this is years before. What's going on?
What's going on? Starring Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan. And also returning is, you know, our boy Anakin. Played by, what's his face? And...
Well, Hayden Christensen.
Hayden Christensen.
Hayden Christensen. I don't get it. I don't get how he's playing it. Like, he's
doesn't matter.
Helmets on, surely.
But I think there will be scenes with it off. We talked about this.
I don't
in 60
like
minutes.
That. I don't like that. I don't like the idea that Darth Vader's now walking around with his helmet off just because they
he
want
won't be.
To
he
show.
Won't be in battle. He won't be in battle. I think there could be a scene where, because this is the thing that's interesting to me. The adventures of Vader are fucking brutal. Like, some of the, I haven't read all the comics. There's a lot of like comics which detail how ruthless he is. Killing so many people, destroying worlds. Like, you know, he is a fucking savage, bro.
Well,
like,
that's, so, but that's it, isn't it?
This is what's interesting though, right? Because Obi-Wan thinks he killed his brother, you know, someone who he literally, and even Obi-Wan forgoes the sort of Jedi attachment thing. He loves Anakin like a fucking brother, right? And he thinks he's dead. Then he must hear about this Darth Vader going around and fucking slaughtering people. And then they're going to come face to face again in this show. 100% there's going to be a battle, you know? What, you know, Duel of the Fates all over again, right? I think there could be a scene. I think there could be a scene where just before they fight, he takes his helmet off and says something to him. I could just, like a samurai would, or like a fucking, you know, old medieval type battle. You put your helmet on, like in Game of Thrones again.
Well, hello there,
Game of Thrones again.
Mugging me off.
Yeah, what's that guy in Game of Thrones, John? The greatest swordsman that ever lived, who goes, I wish you well in the battles to come, puts his helmet on, it's time to go.
No.
Do you know what I mean? The best swordsman ever, who gets killed at the Tower of Joy.
Oh, shit. Sorry, yeah.
We're Game of Thrones mega fans.
The Sword of the Morning. The Sword of the Morning.
Correct.
Yes.
Arthur Dayne.
Well, anyway, whatever his name. Arthur Dayne.
Right. It reminds me of that. Like, he puts his helmet on. Like, I could see something like that happening. I mean, I'm just excited because I think Star Wars in TV show format has handled its transition from movies to a live action show extremely well. It's given so much more room for characters to grow and different storylines to be there. One of the best things about the prequel series is Ewan McGregor's Obi-Wan Kenobi. He's fantastic. He is genuinely brilliant. The script at times could be a bit hokey, but he did his best with what was given to him. And as a Jedi, he looks amazing. Like, he is one of the best Jedi there's ever been. So it's very exciting to me. And I know Hayden Christensen gets a very tough time in the prequels, but you have to remember he is a adolescent teenager pulled between two forces of whatever's going on, thinks his love of life's going to die. I think now... As Darth, I think he could really do something here, like, really good. I'm really excited. And, you know, you say about, is he ever going to take his helmet off? Fucking Pedro Pascal only took his helmet off once, and he's been fantastic. So...
I know, but it's his voice. Like, I mean, they're not going to have Darth Vader with Hayden Christensen's voice, are they?
Why not?
Because it would be shit, wouldn't it?
Like, it probably will be.
The whole point of Darth Vader is to have that James Earl Jones, like...
Yeah. Okay, well, look, I'm excited for it, John.
Hayden Christensen, like, oh, I hate this suit, it's too heavy.
But here's the thing.
Hot.
Are you more excited for Obi-Wan or Mandalorian Season 3?
No, I mean, Obi-Wan, because I mean, I think him eventually versus Darth Maul will be good as well.
Like, holy shit, that's coming too, I reckon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're definitely planning for it, because they've already told the wider audience that Darth Maul's still alive
with Han in Solo. Solo, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, we also know that Ahsoka's main rival for a long time was Darth Maul. Like, her big bad was Darth Maul. So that's got wiggle room as well. And Darth Maul's a fan.
Darth Maul, you're rubbish.
Like, he's a fantastic
Anakin
character.
Anakin would have wiped the floor with you, wouldn't he? Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah. no, it would be good. It would be good. I'm excited for it, and I'm excited to see what Ewan McGregor can do with some new material.
Yeah, and Obi-Wan's going to be in a very interesting place. The whole Jedi Order's been destroyed. He's essentially killed his brother. He's literally just a warden of a child who is a baby at this
point. The whole series is just going to be Castaway, just him just knocking about in a desert.
Yeah, literally, with a droid, keeping himself interested any way he can. Think of that whichever way you want.
Draws a face on R2-D2. I've already got a face.
Wilson! Yeah. My name's R2-D2, for fuck's sake. Anyway, it's going to be fantastic. And I'm genuinely... Disney buying Star Wars obviously has enabled the series to grow. The films, 7, 8 and 9, say what you want about the conclusion, but 7 and 8, I know we both had an amazing time with. Definitely rekindled our love for the series, and now I'm just excited that they've decided to diversify into these shows and give other characters and different periods of the Star Wars history a chance to shine that isn't just focused around Luke Skywalker or the Jedi Order. So that's going to be fantastic. So yeah, that's it, yeah. John. Thanks for joining me.
Good. No, it was good. It was good. Yeah. No, look, Disney took a lot of flack with the films, but I mean, they're seriously pulling it back now with The Mandalorian. And okay, I mean, The Book of Boba Fett was not as good as I was hoping it would be, but it was still very good and had some excellent moments.
Exactly.
So roll on, Obi-Wan.
Exactly. And I think if you love a show like this, or the universe that Star Wars is, you live for moments like that. It's not about, it is about good storytelling, of course, but it's those jaw-dropping moments that you remember, when you see a Force ghost of Yoda, or you see characters that you haven't seen for decades, like Luke reappear and stuff like that. It's just those moments that you remember and cherish.
Qui-Gon will be in Obi-Wan, won't he?
I bloody hope so.
Definitely.
Bloody hope so.
Definitely.
Very good Jedi, so... Anyway, thanks, John, for joining me. And thank you, audience, for our listening to our Boba Fett spoiler cast, Mandalorian 2.5 spoiler cast. Me and John are going to crawl back into the Sarlacc pit now to disintegrate ourselves into nothingness. But fear not, we'll be back.
To be digested for the next 1,000 years.
Exactly right. We'll be back in the next few weeks. There's a lot of podcasts coming up. We've obviously got reviews of amazing films like The Batman. We've got a worst of Netflix coming up. Another 60 minutes, I'm sure. And John's coming over to Australia soon to visit. So we're going to have the 3 Minute Men live together, which is going to be fantastic. definitely not live.
Live.
But as live as can be.
Streamed. Yeah.
Who knows? We could do with some beers.
Could do. Yeah.
Thanks, listeners. As I said, if you want to support us more, go to patreon.com/fancritical. It's in the show notes. Any support, greatly appreciated. Thank you to all of our amazing Patreons. And we'll catch you all on the next one. See ya, and may the Force be with you.
Wow. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.